Remain standing for the reading of the Gospel according to Luke. Verses 36 through 38. Luke 2, 36 through 38. And they tell me that that's on page 1006 in your pew Bible. Luke 2:36. Hear the word of God. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Amen. You may be seated. Father in heaven, we have heard your word read, and we're grateful that you have revealed salvation to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would teach us through your Holy Spirit, that we would learn from you, that we would be taught of God, and that we would learn how your grace, your mighty grace, leads to mighty prayer. And so thank you, God, for giving us this wonderful example and instruction in the scriptures, that through the scriptures we might have perseverance and encouragement and hope. And so we pray that you would bless this time as we consider your word, as we seek to abide in Christ and bear his fruit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sermon title is Mighty Grace, Praise. Mighty Grace, Praise. Or Mighty Grace leads to Mighty Prayer. Now, this is starting a sermon with a pun, because Anna is the Old Testament name, Hannah, which means grace. So Mighty Grace, Praise. And here we have Mighty Grace, or Mighty Anna, praying, fasting and praying. What is she fasting and praying for? She's fasting and praying for the redemption of Jerusalem. And what we can say is that she, from a human perspective, was the one that the Lord raised up to pray in the Messiah. She was praying, we think, for roughly 60 years, because she was a widow. And if you do the math, she was a widow after being married for 7 years, and she was 84, and so you subtract maybe 20 years, and you end up with about 60 years where she's in the temple day and night with fastings, plural, and prayers, plural. So it wasn't like, well, I'll fast once, maybe. No, it was part of her regular activity. And it says she served the Lord with fastings and prayers. Now, our New King James translates it served in the past tense, but in the original, it's in the present tense. So you could translate, yeah, she's serving the Lord with fastings and prayers. And that's what we call the historical present. In other words, the author wants to draw us in to the action and make it seem like it's happening right now. And maybe we could think of it this way. She was serving the Lord with so many fastings and prayers that she's still doing it. And so you get a picture of how intense her seeking of the Lord was. Now the gospel is the story of God's mighty grace. God's mighty grace. And in Luke, we have a focus on God's grace. Remember the angel Gabriel's words to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor," or "you have found grace in the sight of God." That's from chapter 1 and verse 30. And then Mary, in response to God blessing her, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has had regard. He has looked into the humble state of his bond slave, and he has had mercy." And then Zechariah in Luke 1:68, "Blessed be the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has shown grace and shown mercy according to his covenant, because he is gracious." And then the angels, we heard about this last week, the angels proclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill," or "peace and favor, grace towards men." And so our God is a God who is gracious. And this whole Bible is a story of God's grace towards his people in Jesus Christ. Amen? But mighty grace leads to mighty prayer. And so grace doesn't leave us where we are. Grace moves us closer to God. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When God gives grace to the humble, then the humble begin to pray and ask God for more grace. And so God gave Anna grace to pray and to keep praying night and day for the coming of the Messiah, for the answer to that prophecy that there would be one who would come and redeem Jerusalem. So what is fasting and prayer? Fasting is abstaining from food for a time for a specific reason. And fasting tells our flesh that we're serious about seeking God, doesn't it? You know, when people are serious about seeking God, they don't even want to eat. They set it aside and said it's more important to seek God's face. You see that in the book of Jonah, remember? Yet 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And so what did the people do? They said, "Oh, we're in trouble. We need to repent. We need to fast and pray before the Lord. Maybe he will notice that we're serious about seeking him, and he'll spare our city." And you know what? That's exactly what happened. God saw that they were serious, and he did spare their city. Of course, that didn't make Jonah very happy, but you know, you can't make everybody happy, can you? So fasting tells the Lord and no one else that we're serious about seeking God. Remember, because you don't want to fast and let other people know, Jesus tells us. Your fasting should be in secret. So fasting tells God that we're serious about seeking him. What is prayer? Well, prayer is calling on the name of the Lord through Jesus Christ. Calling on the name of the Lord through his covenant mediator. And that's what Anna was doing. She was calling on the name of the Lord. Lord, you promised. You promised you would send a king. A king who would reign forever and ever. Where's that king? Where's that Messiah? Where is that Redeemer? And she kept praying and praying night and day and with fasting. Then the question is, who may pray and fast? Who may pray and fast? Well, here in our passage, we see that a daughter of Phanuel was praying, fasting, and praying. Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. Phanuel means face of God. Face of God. And so who may pray and fast? Well, those children who want to see the face of God. Do you want to see God's face? Amen? Well then, fast and pray. Also those who want to be blessed, fast and pray. Asher means blessed. Anna was of the tribe of Asher. You want to experience God's blessing, then sometimes it's good to abstain from food for a time, for a specific reason. And we see that in the life of the church. Remember in Acts chapter 13, the church in Antioch was ministering before the Lord, and they were fasting and praying. And it was at that time that the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I will give to them. And then they fasted and prayed again, and then sent them out to Cyprus to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ there. So fasting and praying is from grace and leads to more grace. And so it's also a source of blessing. And then it also is a means of grace. Who may pray and fast? Children who want to use the means of grace. What is a means of grace? Well, it is some institution of the church or institution of discipleship that helps the believer grow. We can think of the Word is a means of grace. You read the Word and we grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Prayer is also a means of grace. It helps us grow in knowing God. The sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, discipline, the discipline of the church, and also our own disciplining ourselves and discipleship. All of these are ways that God uses to give more grace so that we can grow in knowing and loving him. Children who want to use, and I'm talking about the children of God, How many of you are sons and daughters of God? Amen? Children of God, we want to use the means of grace so that we can grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Anna, again, is named after the word chana, which means grace. We want to use the means of grace. We want to live by grace. But grace causes us to act, causes us to step out in faith, causes us to do things like pray, do things like fast. And so grace disciplines us and strengthens us to walk with God. And so I want to encourage us as those who believe that God is sovereign. Okay, we believe that God is in control of everything, and that's true. But we also need to hold in one hand God's sovereignty, but hold in the other hand our own responsibility. In other words, don't leave everything to God's grace and God's will, but then we don't do anything. God calls us to be obedient. God calls us to use the means of grace. And so, yes, I want to receive God's grace, but then I must put myself in a position to receive it. And one of those ways to put myself in a position to receive God's grace is through fastings and through prayer. Now, when was the last time you heard a sermon on fasting and prayer? You don't hear too many of them. And so we want to be instructed from the scriptures. And also we want to grow up into the full stature of Jesus Christ. Do you remember Jesus fasted and prayed how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Now, not asking us to do that, although sometimes the Lord calls his saints into extended times of fasting and praying. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit regarding that. But Jesus fasted and prayed, and the disciples prayed, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I think we also can pray, "Lord, teach us to fast and pray." Because if we are supposed to grow up into the full stature of Christ, I think that means that we should learn something of what he knew regarding fasting and prayer. So, Lord, teach us to fast and pray. And to use these means of grace and not leave everything to the sovereignty of God. Yes, we trust the sovereignty of God, but we also want to step out in faith and using the means that God has given. When and where may God's people pray and fast? Well, when is night and day, all the time. We are called to pray without ceasing, and we are called to always pray and not give up. And again, here the historical present is used again. She's serving God night and day. She's worshiping God night and day with fastings and prayers. And so what I want to encourage us about is to consider this next year, 2019, consider incorporating serious prayer and serious fasting into your schedule, into your life, that somehow that would become part of your life. Now, if we all make that attempt, I think I would feel somewhat successful in my preaching. But even more than that, my prayer is that God would work in one person who's listening to really get serious about seeking the face of God to the point where food is not an issue. Now, I'm speaking to Mount Carmelites, and Mount Carmelites from the get-go are people who love to eat, and that's who we are, for good or for ill. Maybe we need to repent of gluttony. I don't know. I think maybe a little bit, and I resemble that remark. But you know what? Knowing and communing with the living God is so much better than the best meal. No offense to those who are working on a great meal right now, but I think we need to look at those meals as a foretaste, as an appetizer for something far better. And that's the wedding feast that we'll experience with God forever. And also our God who calls us, you know, our God who knocks at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. I will come in to her, and I will dine with them. God wants to have fellowship with you. And fasting is one of those things that focuses us on seeking God and putting everything aside and remembering that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's something better than bread here. There's something better than chocolate here. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. We want more of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then where may you pray and fast? Again, the words praying and fasting, they are plural. And so the expectations, we're going to do a lot of them. And then they are also in the imperfect tense, which is an ongoing, repetitive action. Where? Well, Anna prayed day and night in the temple. I can imagine the priests coming into the temple, the Levites coming into the temple. Who's that over there? Oh, it's Anna. She never goes home. She's always here. We close the doors at night, and she's there. We come in the morning, she's there. And my prayer is that the Lord would raise up Annas among us to pray and to keep praying for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so for 2019, my encouragement is that we would become a house of God people. A house of God people. Literally in the Greek it says, Anna did not absent herself from the temple. She didn't make herself absent from the temple. She was there day and night. And so, where are we? Do we forsake the assembling of ourselves together? We're encouraged not to do that, and that we want to be here unless providentially hindered. Now, I know sometimes we have reasons why we can't make it, but if you can make it, come out and be with God's people. Let's call on the name of the Lord together. Let's worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us be a house of God people. Let us be a night and day prayer and fasting kind of people. Now, we have an opportunity for prayer and fasting coming up this Monday night. We're going to pray. Some of us are going to fast. And we're going to be praying in the new year. So we'll meet at 10 o'clock Monday night. I think that's the right day. New Year's Eve. And we're going to pray and seek God's face and seek Him for the next year. So I want to invite you all to that. That's called a watch night prayer meeting. And that goes back many years, back to proclamation of freedom during the Civil War. But even before that, there were watch night prayer meetings in the Moravian Church. So we want to call on God's name and gather and seek His face. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, it says, the disciples were continuing daily with one accord in the temple. And so they met daily. They were a revived people. What does a revived people look like? Well, they are a people who are, they're always at the house of God because they want to seek God's face together. Amen. And then lastly, why fast and pray? Well, we're fasting and praying now because we're looking for and hastening the day of the coming of the Messiah. Why would I say such a thing? Because the Bible says such a thing. 2 Peter 3:12. 2 Peter 3:12, if you would turn there. Where it says, I have to back up to verse 11, talking about how the day of the Lord will come like a thief and everything will be burnt up. And verse 11 says, since all these things will be destroyed in this way, or probably a better translation is renewed and renovated, because there will be a new heavens and a new earth, since all these things will be renewed this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? And so we are those who, yes, we look back at the coming of the Messiah into the world, but now we're looking forward to and we're hastening the day of His coming again. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He's going to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead? And it says, amen. And it says here that we're looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. And so I have to ask, are you hastening the day of His coming, or are you delaying the day of His coming? Now, that's kind of a hard one for us Calvinistic thinkers to get our minds around, but that's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. It says, I'm just going by what it says. It says we look for and hasten the day. How do we do that? Well, in again, from that passage, it says, 2 Peter 3:14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent. Be diligent, found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And so part of the way we hasten the coming of the day is to be found in peace. Are you in peace? Are you at peace with God? Are you right with God? Are you right with your neighbors? Husbands, are you right with your wives? Are you loving them? And are you kind to them? And are you gentle with them as Jesus is kind and gentle with you? And then wives, are you respecting your husbands and loving your husbands? And children, are you obeying your parents? Or older children, are you honoring your father and your mother? And are we at peace? We need to be at peace. We need to be without spot. True religion is to visit widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Are you keeping unspotted from the world? The world crowds in, tells you, this is what you need. This is what's good. This is what will satisfy you. And you know what? And we know that they're empty promises because you pursue those things and then how do you feel after that? Do you have peace afterwards? No. No. And so we need Jesus. And so I want to encourage us for this next year to be a people of mighty grace, to experience that favor. Like we talked about last week, God is a God who gives us glory. God is a God who gives us peace, and God gives us favor. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill, good favor towards men through Jesus Christ. And so in 2019, as we live in that peace and favor, we will be those who are speeding up the coming of the Lord. That's what the word says. We're looking for and hastening the coming of Messiah. So yes, we celebrate his coming into the world, but we look forward. We look forward to his coming. And so that's why the word says, Maranatha, come quickly. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And so we want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, grow in prayers and fastings, because mighty grace leads to mighty prayer and fasting, and mighty prayer leads to more mighty grace. And so this is how we can have more grace, because God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace. He gives grace to the humble. So let's humble ourselves and seek the face of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, our God, for being gracious to us. Thank you for essentially bringing us through 2018, and we look forward to what you will do in 2019. And so, Lord, we want to pray that we would be a different people in 2019, that we would grow in your grace, the grace and the knowledge, the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so help us, Lord, to be serious about using the means of grace so that we will grow. So we want to grow in our intake of the word. We want to grow in our praying according to that word, and we want to grow in fasting. And so we pray, Lord, that you would teach us to pray and teach us to fast so that all of us would grow up into that full stature of Jesus Christ, that we would have more of Jesus, that we would be serious about seeking your face and seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness, that we would look for and yearn for and hasten the day of the coming of Jesus, the one who will come and gather his people. He'll come in glory, judge the living and the dead, and then we will always be with the Lord. And so we pray, Lord, that we would focus on these things and seek them, because you have sought us out and you have given us much grace. And so we want to thank you, want to praise you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.